call the Board of Supervisors to session.
Supervisor Howe, can you please lead us in the pledge?
Surely.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Pastor Bradley.
Let's pray together. Father, we just come with gratefulness and thankfulness as you watch and care over us. We continue to remember those who've lost property and lives during the fires. Thank you for all of those who have taken up the battle to fight the fires. We pray for all of our agencies that are providing help and support, and we pray that we not forget those folks during this continuing time of need. For the session here today, God, we just pray for wisdom, understanding as the decisions are made. Truly, we're grateful for all of our county employees, for our Board of Supervisors, and their families. We give thanks for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor, for putting us in the right spot.
And if we could guide you guys,
Ms. Wendy, we'll do the roll call.
Okie dokie. Supervisor Howe?
Here.
Supervisor Chris?
Present.
Supervisor Ogren?
Present.
And Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
And it appears Mr. Kobseff is absent rather
correct.
Than late, correct? Thank you.
It wasn't road construction, it's permanent.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to be able to make it.
Did you receive?
No, I didn't receive anything, no. There's a couple of road constructions coming in.
And the board will be convening today as the, Siskiyou County Flood Control and Water Conservation District and County Service Area 4 and receives no additional compensation.
Now we'll do presentations from the public. From Hornbrook, John McClain. Sir, feel free to come up and the podium's right there. If you just say your name when you speak
Well, good morning. I am a resident of the county. I live in Hornbrook, and the reason that I've come this morning is...
Sir, if you'd say your name for the record as well.
John D. Klein.
Thank you.
D-E, capital K-L-E-I-N-E.
Thank you.
Can you need my address?
No.
Okay. So, basically, I see you at your board as county leaders and problem solvers. And I understand that each problem that you come up with, you have to make a decision on how that's going to impact, you know, spending money on getting things resolved. And basically, I have two problems, and basically those are the process of obtaining a permit, and in my case, it used to take like 1 to 2 weeks to get a permit, because I've already gotten one in the past in 2019 early. And now it's taken almost 3 months, and I still don't have a permit. And basically, the permit I'm asking for is so that I can install a whole house backup generator system, because we have no clue what the electrical grid is going to look like in the future. So I've hired a contractor to do that, and he submitted the permit, and he can't do any more work on my property. So that's a concern for me. And I'm not sure why it's taking so long, but being a business person in the past, I would assume it's a resource issue, whether that's people or whatever, training, I don't know. But I believe that that's what my perception is that's the issue. And the second thing is that, you know, I'm kind of on the old side, so I can't do a lot of things I used to be able to do to keep my house maintenance up. So when I need something done, I'm calling contractors and asking them if they'll do the work. And their answer is, as long as I go get the permit. They're not even willing to go get a permit anymore because the process is, in their opinion, too cumbersome and taking a long time. So that's kind of where I'm at and why I'm coming this morning, is to say, please look into this issue and find out what you can do to fix it. Because, you know, I've went through three outages here short, up in our area, I didn't lose any food or anything like that, but you know, the issue basically is that's why I paid all this money to get a generator for this. I wouldn't have to worry about it. So thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. John. I'm the Don Pfeiffer he's referring to.
Sure, absolutely. Just you're coming up for public comment. You just say your name for the record.
John Spezzano.
If you could spell the last name, please.
S-P-E-Z-Z-A-N-O.
Right, did you get it, Miss Wendy? Absolutely, sir. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm John's contractor. We submitted permits, and it is unreal as far as that building department. They are non-cooperative, and I have other issues with them that they will not return a phone call. They will not return an email. You go there in person, and you can't talk to anybody except the nice lady at the front desk, and she can't do anything for you. They, in the last, I'm going to say, year or two, I refuse to do any work in Siskiyou County. I will not permit. I don't have the, the patience for it anymore. And the fees are, let the fees go the way they are. I mean, there's no, you know, they are higher than anybody else in the area as far as other counties. But it's ridiculous. And I have another job outside of John's in the county. And the first inspector left the county to do something else, and they brought in a new inspector, nice fella, young, green as grass. And I've asked for a meeting, or he asked, he says, would you meet with us? I said, certainly. And I said, and I sent him an email confirming that, and to him and everybody else, I guess, in the his boss and that. And I have yet to receive an answer, and it's been over 2 weeks, not a email, a phone call, or anything else. Your people there will, as I said, you will not return a phone call except this one inspector that is, I understand, has the whole county now and running himself ragged. But you call anybody down there, they don't have the common courtesy to return a phone call. I think that before this new regime in the building department, we didn't have this problem. I think it's time that somebody takes a strong look at it. I've never had this problem in any other county, and I've worked down almost all the counties in the state. I'm originally from down south. I've been here about 20 plus years, and it's gone downhill. I realize we have a an attitude of no growth. And believe me, you look up Siskiyou County and we're number one not to come here, and they mentioned the building department. You've got to do something with it. As I say, I will not do another job in the county or pull a permit. That's it. And John's permit has been there for, what, John, 3 months or better? And I finally got, last Friday, I got an email that they needed some more information, and I shot that right back to them within the hour, and now I haven't heard anything. Any information they've asked for, they've had.
If you could just maybe leave your phone number on one of those blue cards there, name for us also. It's right behind you.
Here, I'll just give you a card.
That'd be perfect, sir.
I have a wall up here somewhere.
Supervisor Howe.
Both the gentlemen who just spoke, this is timely. Know the outcome, but I've scheduled a building department review on Thursday this week, and not the only one, because is worse than
I tried to make it generic.
Yeah. Well, you see what we
do. Well, if I could, this is not unique. I get calls all the time. It's not siloed. It's what we've been up against forever and a day. I wish we would put more emphasis on it. We typically don't. We get back and we try to make a little bit of improvements, but it does need to be looked at long-term because it's critical to the operation schedule.
My intent for this meeting is to have a pretty thorough review and bring back the bullet points, if you will, to this board to make good decisions.
Sure. To me, it's not rocket science. We're not paying the going rate to keep people here because they're paying bigger, because of everything goes on outside of our world.
I think there's some other issues, too.
All right, thank you. Any other, not an agenda topic, but any other public comment in general? All right, seeing none?
Showing none online.
And none online, thank you. We'll go to the consent agenda. I do see some comments for item 5D, so I'll pull that one.
I'm going to pull A.
A?
Yeah.
A, M, and D.
M, like Mary?
It is a Mary.
I see some people in here on item on the airport, but there's no comment. I think we're fine there for just voting for it. Right. I'm seeing nodding heads there. So, with that, I'll welcome a motion for consent.
Move to approve the remaining.
Second.
All right. Motion is second. Roll call.
Okay. Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yeah.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris?
I'll be an aye. All right. The full item, though in alphabetical order, item A, Supervisor Haupt?
I have to recuse myself.
Oh, that's right. That's okay. I'll make it. Yes, Ms. Lawson.
No questions?
Oh, okay. Just refusing for any potential conflict of interest. I'll make a motion for item A.
Thank you.
Is there a second from a colleague?
Move to approve.
I'll second that. I'll second her motion.
Oh, okay. Okay. All righty. Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yeah.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris?
Aye. Supervisor Hopp, you can come back in if you're here.
Thank you.
Item D, there were some comments on this one, so I pulled it for public comment. Ms. Gliata? Yes, so this is the State Water Board cannabis letter.
My name is Gliata. I live in Wairika, and I'm here to... I need to give this to Wendy so she can give it to the supervisor.
Thank
I made seven
you're
copies.
Fine. Yeah, that's fine.
Did I give you all seven?
Yeah.
I sent you one for me.
Yeah.
Wendy.
There you go.
You didn't take them all.
There's two parts?
No, there's just
we're doing flight by voice.
Got this. This one.
Okay.
And then the other one
again.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of pieces in here.
We'll work that out.
But they should be set up.
I have is the declaration.
Yeah, give me
all
this.
We'll work that out and hand it out to Cleo.
Thank you.
So don't worry about
what
that.
It is a petition and it's a declaration of a state of emergency. And it's been brought to our attention that I know that our Board of Supervisors have done many letters to and requests to the Water Board and to the Governor to declare Sisseton County a state of emergency and resolve in regard to our man-made disaster of the cultivation of marijuana, illegal marijuana, and to no avail. We've not had any relief from that. The Governor has not responded, saying that it's not a natural disaster, so we can't declare a state of emergency. But if you look in the California Constitution, under Emergency Service Act, it lists man-made disasters also a reason that the Governor can declare a state of emergency. So the citizens of Siskiyou County decided to do a petition, a citizen's petition, and I'd like to read that petition to you. It says, under the authority of the California Code of Government, Title II, Chapter 7, Articles 13, Section 8625, Siskiyou County residents are joining the county sheriff in requesting Governor Gavin Newsom declare a state of emergency in Siskiyou County. Our local law enforcement with very limited personnel is not able to combat the organized crime controlling the extensive illegal marijuana growing operations in this county. The illegal activity is also causing an environmental crisis from the heavy use of chemicals and draining of scarce water resources. We therefore urge the governor to release funding and to employ state personnel, equipment, and facilities to assist the county law enforcement in upholding the law in Siskiyou County. And we obtained these petitions, these signatures, for 1 month in the month of August. And so we have a total of 417 signatures. But I wanted to point out to the board that these signatures were gathered during the time that we were running for our lives from wildfire and people were being displaced. So we would have had more signatures if we didn't have that situation going on. So this petition is going to be sent to the governor along with a letter that we're going to have, and it's going to be sent to both our assembly person, Megan Daly, and our Senator Brian Daly, asking for their help. And in particular, we're asking them to do a press release on that. And so, and then Sheila Meander is going to read the letter that we're going to send to our two representatives. But I also want to point out to the letter that the county has done, which I think is excellent. At the bottom there, where it lists the different supervisors, there is an error there. You've listed Lisa Nixon as District 4 supervisor. So you might want to correct that before you send that. Thank you.
Thank you for catching that. Mrs. Meander?
Oh, I'm sorry. I guess I should give this. This is the press release we're requesting, one for Brian Daly and Megan.
There's two?
There's seven copies of each.
Okay.
And actually the letters are really the same, only the name has changed. Good morning, everybody. As Louise indicated, we are requesting a press release from Ryan Daly's office, our California State Senator, and also from Megan Daly, our State Assemblyman. And we're requesting a release from them declaring a state of emergency for Siskiyou County. As residents and citizens of Siskiyou County, we are requesting a state of emergency be declared by Governor Newsom under Government Code Title II, Division 1, Chapter 7, Article 1, 8550, due to the devastation and impact that illegal cannabis growers and cartels have had on our county. As a result of these continuing unlawful activities, we are confronted with criminal, open and notorious water theft and use by illegal cannabis growers, while curtailment orders are being imposed on law-abiding farmers and ranchers by the State Water Resources Control Board. These unlawful activities have resulted in hazardous material spills affecting our land, contamination of our water, waterways, and the poisoning of our wildlife, inhumane treatment of animals, human trafficking, and organized crime. This is not only an environmental Superfund issue, but has become a public safety and health issue. Many requests and concerns have been made by the public and our local government officials to the State Water Resources Control Board and Cal EPA, but we have been stonewalled. Videos and documentation, as well as our 2022 grand jury report, have been provided to the State Water Resources Control Board and other agencies to substantiate our concerns. The State Water Resources Control Board maintains this as a law enforcement issue, but we are not getting the resources we need to address this cancer that has infected our county, as repeatedly requested by our county sheriff and board supervisors. Even with the devastating fires in our county and the displacement of many citizens, we were still able to collect over 350 signatures. And Louise has just updated that figure to over 400. from concerned citizens to call for a man-made state of emergency declaration regarding the illegal cannabis grows and environmental concerns in our county. Therefore, it's imperative that the governor, in conjunction with our sheriff and local officials, provide the manpower, funding, and facilities necessary to provide for the safety and welfare of our citizens. Respectfully, Siskiyou County residents and the list of people who signed a petition is going to be attached to that. Okay? Any questions?
Mrs. Meander, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Any other public comment on item 5D?
No, none online.
Thanks for catching me on that. Any board discussion or questions, or entertain the motion from colleagues?
Move to approve.
I'll second.
Okay. Supervisor Huff?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Crisp?
I'll be an aye. And Supervisor Ogren, item N, the sheriff and contract with Dunster.
Yeah, the addendum. Has a few updates, but I would like to see updates to include updating section 1 and 2 of the MOU, which include updating County Captain Carl Hauptman and the city manager, I believe the city manager for Dunsmuir has changed, as well as our sheriff and that sort of information needs to be updated as well. And then maybe some more information regarding pricing and resources to look into more equity as far as what we need to recoup as far as value added back to the county. It doesn't seem as though maybe we're getting enough when it comes to the pricing, and not just for Dunsmuir, but maybe for all the cities. So maybe we have a little more discussion to do with the sheriff in regard to what we need to get out of these.
County Administrator Angela Davis, we do have the sheriff online that may be able to answer questions, or we can take it back and have a discussion with the sheriff's department with those items that Supervisor Ogren has mentioned.
Well, maybe it should go back and correct it. Maybe have the sheriff here in person. I think it would be a better approach. I would say this, my recollection, because you can contract in the since they do it by an hourly rate, and you don't have so many hours, this is just not an open-ended deal where they're just going to be there, you know, all the time like they are in the county, technically. So there is a factor there, but I would let the sheriff answer to that. And I would prefer for him to be in person with this.
Sheriff LaRue?
Yes, good morning, Chairman Prost. Can you hear me okay?
We can. Go ahead. Did you hear the questions from Supervisor Ogren?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Did you hear the questions from Supervisor Ogren?
I was able to hear part of it. It's difficult to hear in the room. I kind of have a gist of it, though, and I'm certainly able to answer any questions.
Okay. Supervisor Ogren, did you want to ask the question again?
First part was to update the names in the MOU to include your name instead of the past sheriff. That might be more appropriate.
Yes, I can answer that. So the current contract that we have was a 3-year contract, and of course it expired. So what you would be signing today would be the addendum, which does address the issue of the county designated the names on there. So we have not updated the original contract. We're hoping to, of course, renew a contract with all of that language in there. So the addendum does have that reference on there. Essentially, this is extending. The addendum is to extend law enforcement services through the year. And then during that process, we're going to be updating the specific language of the MOU to make it a little more, I want to say, beneficial for the city of Dunsmuir, but also the county. It just contains some outdated terminology and whatnot that we want to meet and, you know, kind of confer on. It's very similar to what you've already passed with the city of Montague.
Any further questions?
Not at this time. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Sheriff. Any motions by any colleagues?
I'll make the recommended motion.
The motion for him.
Seems to help my district.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't get any complaints from the city of Dunsmuir.
I'll make a second for it for Dunsmuir.
Okay. Supervisor, there's no further comment, correct?
I should ask that first. Any other further comment, Anna?
None
online. Okay, I've seen that person, so.
Okay. Supervisor Hal?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris?
I'll be there also. You all right, Miss Wendy?
Yep.
All right. Public request. California Department of Transportation, Caltrans presentation on the wildlife connectivity. Feel free to come forward. I do have one. She's not in the room. I just have one public comment, but we'll do that afterwards. We'll do that afterwards. We'll be fine.
That's what you wanted to do anyway.
Okay.
What do you want me?
Well, there would be fine. Yeah, for the speaker is and everything.
Okay. Yeah. In my name?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wesley Stroud. STROED. And also brought with me two other people. I don't know if you want their names as well. They may speak. They may have a speaking part as well for a moment.
Yep.
We got Eric Wilson.
Charlie Wellman.
Eric with a C?
Yes.
Thank you.
And Davis Ferguson?
Davis.
R-G-U-S-O.
Okay. You got this, Wendy?
Uh-huh.
Got it?
Scott?
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, again, I appreciate everybody taking the time and letting me be here. Siskiyou County is obviously a special place in my heart. But again, just appreciate everybody being here. I know you all have been going through a lot, so... Again, I just appreciate the opportunity to kind of be here and present in front of you and have that conversation. See Ray in real life. Hey, Ray, nice to see you.
Good.
I've only talked to him on the phone, but never in real life. So, obviously, Brandon, it's good to see you as well. So, so obviously, we're going to get into wildlife connectivity a little bit and another item that Caltrans is picking up as far as, you know, you got your roads, you got your bridges, you got all that stuff, upkeep of that, but the... A new thing is going is this reconnecting wildlife, and there's several reasons for that. Man-made climate change or climate change in general, however you feel about that, you know, given critters and plants an opportunity to move around a little bit is one reason, but safety of the traveling public and the workers out there really is the other two primary drivers. So if you could just keep moving her forward. And again, my name is Wes Stroud, supervising environmental planner out of Caltrans District 2, so the Reading office. I have working also Eureka and Marysville have teams there, but our group is out of the Reading office primarily. So grew up in Red Bluff, have a couple kids, a 10-year-old and an 8-year-old, 10-year-old boy and 8-year-old girl. Went to Humboldt State prior to being a Cal Poly system, so beat that, not a Cal Poly grad. And then, you know, biologist my whole life, you know, growing up in Red Bluff. What's up, Ray?
You jump ship,
huh? Yeah, on some level, right? So, but always sort of been a biologist, I think, growing up in a rural community, you know, being outside, hunting and fishing my whole life. You know, you aren't successful unless you figure out how to, you know, find critters and figure out what they like and, you know, where they are in the rivers and all that good stuff. So I can kind of consider myself a biologist forever. Passions, you know, I love traveling, you know, habitat restoration, connectivity work, hunting, fishing, and spending time with my family. So I was up here recently for an all-star tournament this summer. Spent some time up in Waireka, so that's always good for me. Go ahead. And then today's topic, we're going to talk a little bit about wildlife connectivity, talk about CEQA, which is California Environmental Quality Act, and how it kind of drives some of our projects, and then permit-driven mitigation, which is like water board. I know we talked a little bit about the water board today. I heard that come up on CFW. So those are always fun, interesting conversations to have with those crews. We'll look at the top 7 wildlife crossings in District 2, and then the top 13 in the state specifically. So the state is kind of a broader Western Transportation Institute, and Caltrans did a study, and those are the top 13 in the state, which Siskiyou County has a couple. And then ours in District 2, we have some of our own. Some of those are the same as the 13, some of them are not. And again, we have various reasons for those. We can get into that a little bit. Go ahead. I think this doesn't have your guys' names on here. You guys want to introduce yourselves? Eric, go ahead. Just introduce yourself.
I'm Eric Willison. Grew up on the East Coast.
Please come up to the microphone. It's easier for people to hear.
I did that, Miss Winnie, because I think that's the best.
Give my dissertation again.
There you go. Thank you.
I'm Eric Rulison, from the East Coast originally. Moved out here 5 years ago. I'm a biologist with 20 plus years dealing with wildlife, mammals, amphibians, reptiles. Live in Reading.
We can't hear you. Can you speak into the microphone?
Hello?
Thank you.
That's it.
Thank you.
Again, I'm Eric Rulison. I'm a biologist with Caltrans. I'm originally from the East Coast, worked all up and down the East Coast. Moved out here 5 years ago, and I've been working with Caltrans since then as the lead wildlife biologist for connectivity.
Eric, I consider Eric the brains of the operation. I need him just for that part, more than anything else. Thanks, Eric.
Hello, everyone. I'm Davis Ferguson, and I'm with Caltrans. I'm an environmental planner for Caltrans, and I'm also the District 2 Wildlife Connectivity Coordinator. And I've been with Caltrans now just over 2.5 years. And I work closely with Wes and Eric on this stuff. I consider Wes my grand boss. He's my boss's boss. And I grew up in Reading. I was born and raised, sixth generation Shasta County. Grew up fishing and hunting in these areas, and just I'm really excited to be a part of this stuff and give the wildlife a chance. I was don't like seeing dead deer or nice bucks on the side of the freeway, so it's exciting stuff to be a part of, and I'm just happy to be here, and thanks for giving us the chance to speak.
Thank you.
All right, I got that out of the way. So again, those two guys are super important. You know, this is stuff that we do because we love it, because it's important, not because there's money necessarily for it. We kind of parse off time. We spend a lot of extra time, extra hours doing this work outside of normal office hours, because it is important to what we have going on. Happened some changes as of late, and then we can get into right now when we look at CEQA-driven mitigation, which means you know, maybe you're adding a lane to a highway for a certain extended period of time. That would require CEQA-driven mitigation if it was in a wildlife corridor area. And so you look at lots of factors go into that, but again, just one thing we're looking at is, say you add another lane for a couple miles, then you have to look at, does it rise to the level of significance under CEQA? If it does, then you have to mitigate for it, which mitigation for something like that could be a wildlife crossing, undercrossing, most likely, because, again, overcrossings are expensive, so undercrossings are much cheaper. Permit-driven is sometimes CFW and the water board. We can work with them to say we have impacts here to waters or a wetland or to a species. We can take those impacts and move them into what's called an out-of-kind or permit-driven type mitigation where we're going in either creating wetlands, which is the case here in that picture. That one's a wetland that was created out of it was a cow pasture, a historic cow pasture that was behind a levee, and we took and changed the culvert to have saline component come in, which means the bay comes into that. Now it's a planned sea level rise retreat, plus it also brings in saltwater and saltwater habitat to this one, which once was a cow pasture back in the day. So it's interesting and it's fun, and not that we don't need cow pastures too. It's that balance of everything that's important, and it's really the collaborative approach, working with those agencies, working with Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors, working with CalOR, Rocky Mountain Elk, Forest Service, Fish and Game, many others. It doesn't happen if we're not all working together collaboratively. And then looking at ecological lift. Ecological lift is something simple as, is it better for the environment or not? And getting something that's beneficial and big, like a wildlife crossing or, a big wetland restoration that's going to benefit more than just something small. A lot of times we do postage stamp mitigation, which is what we're trying to get away from. It happens in Siskiyou County a lot where we're doing culverts and you have, we took a little bit of riparian at the edge of this culvert, and now we're going to plant. The agencies want us to replant 4 trees at the outlet of the culvert, which we know we're going to have to cut down anyway for maintenance. And so it's just as silly to do that when we could invest that time, invest that money somewhere else in a larger project. It's like I'll have a bank account. It's like saving that money and doing something awesome with it, buying something you like versus buying something, that's made somewhere else that isn't going to last a long time. So that's kind of the idea. So we're trying to, a big part of that is investing in wildlife connectivity. So siphoning off as much money as we can for mitigation that we're going to have to pay anyway and using it for connectivity. Go ahead. And again, anybody stop me if you hear something that you don't understand or you want me to clarify something. I ramble a lot too. So if y'all need me just to clarify something, then by all means, just stop me. Not going to hurt my feelings. Again, ecological lift versus project by project. That's what we talked about, the postage stamp mitigation versus something big. The one in there, that bridge right there, is actually Fort Goff Creek, which is on 96 out there. So that's one of the original kind of wildlife connectivity projects that I was a part of right when I got to Caltrans Reading. I've been with Caltrans since 2006, 2007, something like that. Started down in Stockton, worked my way back up to Northern California where I was born. So anyway. That's just a camera. We throw a lot of camera traps out these days because it's easy for us to kind of set those out and pick up some data when we're doing other things. Obviously, a lot of times they get stolen, so trying to work through that sometimes is difficult. But anyway, go ahead. Again, this is that wetland restoration project. It's actually in Samoa, out of Arcata, and that's just a project that we work on, that some of my team works on out there. And again, taking it. Which once was a cow pasture, and making it this really kind of amazing wetland that's just continuing to develop, and tons of shorebirds, tons of amazing critters out there, tidewater goby out there now, which is a threatened species, so that's pretty cool. Go ahead. These are some other ones that we've done, successful mitigation projects. White Deer Lake, bless you. Trout Creek, mitigation area. These are all ones that were successful. Again, the whole idea is to how can we be mindful of and stewards of your dollars. We always think about and talk about taxpayer dollars and how we need to not waste dollars as much as we can, because again, we're all paying into it, and it's important to get the most out of it and not waste a bunch of money. But just some successful ones. Go ahead.
Do you have any unsuccessful ones?
There's always a few unsuccessful ones, but I would say 99% of the ones we do are successful. We stay at it. So. There are a few, and
we've worked. Is that just placement, or
Sometimes, like we have one at Honey Lake, out in the wildlife area out there with CFW, and it was before my time, and we put it in a spot we should have never put it, and then it's relying on well, right? So it's like if you can't build a wetland someplace that isn't relying on a well, then you probably shouldn't put it there, And I think that's a big lesson, right? You need to have natural water. There's plenty of places where wetlands were. You can go in and look at NRCS and find soil data. If you find soil data that shows this was a wetland at one time, it can be a wetland again. The soil's there, which means if the soil's there, it's kind of a clay thing, and then that water will sit and stay on top and create wetlands when you have those types of environments. So again, we do a lot of like looking at historic maps. That's actually that one in Eureka or Arcata there. That one was, when you look at the maps, it used to be part of the bay. It had bay soil underneath there, and so it was really easy to go in and just do a minor work as far as moving water around, moving the soil around, and everything stayed right where it needed to stay. So that was a pretty cool one. But yeah, every once in a while they do. But we got to stay at it. We don't have a choice, mm-hmm. you know. So things going on. US 101 has got a grant proposal to do some, what are they going to do? They're going to do some flashing signs, that not like we did on Highway 3 up here. We tried that up here, but this is newer technology. So hopefully it'll work a little bit better. And that's right there. I don't know if anybody's been to the Little Red Schoolhouse on Highway 101, but there's always elk standing in the road there. State Route 89, bunch of work going on there. That's a team. My boss is Susie Mellum. She's been working on wildlife connectivity for a long time and has a lot going on 89. They've done a lot of work on 89, and we're trying to mimic a lot of that and moving around the rest of the North Region. North Region's considered essentially Sacramento, Mendocino, Lake County, Tahoe, all north to the border. So that's kind of the territory that we run for Caltrans and try to make a difference, you know. 395 is another one going on out on Border Town. We have some fencing, some jump outs. We have a grant proposal that we're putting together with Wildlands to essentially try to get $4.5 million to put together a plan for that route. Big migration corridors through there, elk, antelope, mule deer, sheep, so all kinds of big ungulates. State Route 139 is another one up. That's the interstate herd coming out of Oregon. That's up by, where's that? It's not quite the Tule Lake, right? Can't remember exactly where that one's at, but I can see it on the map. But anyway, that's another one where, you know, there's known locations. We've had a lot of kill. That one's actually one of the top 14 locations in the state of California for deer kill. So trying to work through that. Not as high a priority because there's a little less ADT out there than some of the other locations, but still important. And then our personal favorite is the big one here in Siskiyou County is our 97 wildlife crossing, which is at the Grass Lake Summit. That's been a fun one. I know that Brandon and Michael were out there early on as part of that project, as part of the team, kind of getting our feet on the ground. Big partnership effort. We got grant money to study it first. We got grant money from Western Transportation Institute to continue that study. And then we are going to apply for some more Wildlife Conservation Board dollars, another $9 million to get us closer to construction. And with that project, we're looking at environmental clearance here in October. From there, we get into finished design. And then by 2025, that thing should be on the ground.
So could you tell me what the start, you know, from concept to finish? I mean, it seems to me it's taken far too long to get something like that done.
Well, when did we start? It actually hasn't been that long for us. It's been a couple years is all. Go ahead, Eric. Didn't come to the microphone.
Yeah, I learned.
You don't want
to? So we started that project officially with grant monies almost, I think, a year and a half ago. Prior to that, it was just stakeholder meetings where we talked about what needed to be done. But up until about a year and a half ago, there was no money to actually implement anything, study anything, or design anything. So once we got those monies, it's actually moved fairly quickly, although the Caltrans process can be, you know, a little bit on the tedious and slower side of things.
So at this moment in time, the proposed crossing that's still not ready to break ground yet?
No,
we don't have construction dollars for it enough. We have to do more grant work.
So a year and a half sounds good to start, but we still haven't gotten across the finish line yet.
No, we have not, but yeah. We're confident that we're going to get there. Cool. You know, we won't stop until we do. We've been talking to, you know, different folks at WCB, and they want to give us money for it. They gave us the planning money for it. They want to see it finished. And then AB 2344 just passed in the state of California. So that's got some money potentially coming at it. The feds may have some money. My boss, Susie, she's not going to give up on it. She's like, this is our next one. We're going to get this thing on the ground. So, and again, we have a Caltrans schedule. So one thing that Caltrans is often good at is when we set schedules, and people may laugh about this. I don't know. You guys can laugh at me if you want. But ultimately, in my regime, when I've been at Caltrans with the team that I've been working with, when we say we're going to hit a schedule, we hit a schedule. We don't often miss schedules, but it does happen. Again, kind of like successful wetland mitigation. It does happen. We does make mistakes from time to time, but we're committed to get this going and get this thing on the ground. And really, the primary driver for 97 not only was obviously the safety of the traveling public, but our maintenance forces out there were really constantly picking up elk off the side of the highway, constantly having to call CHP, and CHP was coming out there and having to put these animals down with their service weapons. And those two forces ultimately joined together and said, hey, we need to do something out here. And then we put some camera data on it, and after listening to them, and, you know, there are 200, 300 animals sometimes crossing, 97 at Grass Lake. Just constant, one right after another. And elk are different than a deer. You know, they feel like they're the biggest dog on the street when it comes to crossing a highway. They don't often cross it expeditiously. They don't cross it fast. They can kind of mosey a little bit more than other critters. And then hitting them, obviously, when we're talking about passenger vehicles, that's bad news if somebody starts hitting elk. So again, that's what really moved us forward more than anything else with 97. So maybe move that slide forward, please.
And just some picture examples.
So here's some others. These are smaller crossings. These are big culverts, 6-foot culverts. But again, we bobcats and bears. Bears will cross under a smaller culvert. There, it's when you look at connectivity, you look at animals' fight or flight, how they perceive danger. You know, a bear can sit in go in a small hole and not really be afraid because they're big and strong. A deer will never go through a small hole like that. They need to see. And when they can see a great distance, they feel safe about going through. They can't see, they won't cross. And so again, that's just kind of the difference. You can get away with the smaller stuff for bears and cats and predators in particular, but not so much for deer and elk and other things. Go ahead. So this is one on Sierra 89. This is kind of gonna be probably the cheapest, not the cheapest fix, but the fix you probably see most often on our highways when you have a fill like this. They're, a lot cheaper than building, our 97 crossing in today's times with today's prices is right around $14 million to do an overcrossing like that over two lanes of a highway. These are under a highway, so they're much cheaper than that. And they work really well. So go ahead and maybe move it forward. So we'll see a lot of these types moving forward. Obviously, you can see the critters rolling through. So that's pretty sweet when we see them working like that. Go ahead. And then here is, and I guess it's tough to see for everybody, but this is the top 13 deer kill locations in the state. California, you can see there's a couple on I-5. There's one out on 395, and then there's one in I-5 in Red Bluff at the river. So Hilt is up there. Hilt's one of the top spots in the state for deer kill, elk kill, and I'm sure all of you living up here know that it can be a pretty bad spot up there. So trying to tackle that's on our short list of places to tackle. But we got to get 97 on the ground. We got to prove that it can be done, and then from there we can start moving on. But that's not to say we're not planning these other locations already. Hill is one of those that they were already kind of starting to plan. We have some projects coming down the pipe here in the future. And so trying to tie in connectivity to those projects and get the economy of scale, so essentially being able to do environmental planning for those projects and then throwing in a crossing, is you get an economy of scale. So you save money by combining them together. So again, Siskiyou County is prominent in the state when it comes to deer kill statistics. So go ahead. And again, stop me if you're seeing something you want to talk about it. This is ours, top 7 in District 2. Grass Lake is number 1, and that is essentially because, again, like we talked about with CHP and our forces saying we got to do something, and so we're out there trying to tackle that one. Bordertown is another one that's super important. We got some fencing work out there already. Got this group that's putting together a grant for us that we're going to apply for and hopefully get some dollars to outline what's called a gap analysis, so determining, what are high, medium, and low dollar fixes for this stretch of highway, and then a plan to implement that. Here's what you can do. Here's a list of what you can do to fix these particular locations. So looking at that, and we're going to do the same thing. We applied for a grant from Oregon border to weed as well, so hopefully we get that one, and that one is a safe situation, a gap analysis to figure out some mallards going on. Trying to figure out again where we can fix certain spaces. Some areas maybe we can just add fencing and funnel to existing undercrossings. That's the cheapest, easiest way to do it. But we gotta have some kind of undercrossings, otherwise you create a sequence of significance just by adding fencing to a project. So yes.
We'll take the highway 3 and Scott Valley on there.
I could just put it on there for you, Ray. Let's add it to the list. Just look at 3. I mean, we know what's on there. We know that we've done work out there in the past. These are just 7. It doesn't mean that they're necessarily any more important. I think we're always going to continue to evaluate these locations and continue to change. This is just something we put together, a couple years ago, to be honest. But we're always down to have. That's what this community input's all about. That's part of the reason why we're here. If folks see specific locations where you're seeing constant deer kills, or elk kills, or whatever that happens to be. There's Citizen Science. UC Davis has an app you can get on and say, hey, I saw a deer kill at this location, and that helps us. We use that data source. We use data sources from maintenance forces pulling deer off the highway. They keep track of those records for us. So
I was just looking at the previous chart on the crashes with deer, and I wish I had those low numbers on Highway 3. Maybe they're not reported as much because they're minor.
What's the stats on so how many actually reported versus how many are actually get killed on the highway? It's a pretty significant number.
Probably upwards of 75% or more do not get reported incidences, and that's because, especially urban areas, they don't want insurance to go up. They don't want to deal with calling CHP or local enforcements and things like that. We won't, and these data don't show it unless CHP was called for education or was reported for insurance purposes. And if you hit a deer, you break a headlight or so, you might not want your insurance to go up that much. So a lot of times, they're not recorded at all.
No, it's significant.
Yeah, there's two types of data out there. There's carcass hotspots, which is what our maintenance pulls off the roadway in one location. And then there are, I'm going blank on the other one. It'll come back to me, though.
No, maybe I'll take the census from the body shops.
Well, I mean, even insurance numbers, we've talked about, how much money is spent, from an insurance company replacing stuff. It's like, being able to siphon off some of those dollars at some point to throw into this so that you reduce that need for that body work in the future. But then maybe we're taking jobs. I don't know. You could look at it from a million different ways, of course. So anyway, go ahead. Move forward, please. So this is just some basic renderings of what 97 could look like. That's the summit itself. That's what the crossing is proposed to look like. Whether it'll be vegetated like that, it's probably just going to be sage and some rocks and some trees interspersed through all that. We're working on a conservation easement right now with Rocky Mountain Elk and the two companies that own the land on either side. So everybody's been, again, super positive and super cooperative, and so it's been a fun process to work through. And then the fencing piece, that's actually just, again, the fencing that's going to go along. We were talking about fiber-reinforced polymer, which is a plastic on some level. It's a recycled material. It's supposed to be fire-resistant more so than sometimes traditionally construction, which I find somewhat hard to believe. But that's what they say. But in order to build a bridge out of fiber-reinforced polymer, you're looking at 20 grand, 20 million versus, 14, 15. So it's hard for me to spend that extra money when I can get something with conventional construction on the ground. And I'd love to push fiber-reinforced polymer if I thought it was, really that much better. But, until somebody comes with an extra 6 million to throw at me, I'm not going to do it because I'm almost halfway to another project, at that point. So anyway, that's what it'll somewhat look like. The down to the south on 97 there, you can't see that, but there's the Vista Point right there. So ideally, we have a spot there. We can talk about the project, talk about how the team kind of put it together, talk about who all was a part of that team putting it all together, and then you know, have kind of a viewing place from there would be pretty sweet. So that's kind of the thought and the idea. But yeah, that's the project itself for 97. I don't know if anybody has any specific questions to that project. We looked at a bunch of locations up there. We used a matrix to look at several items, including, you know, the connectivity, wildlife connectivity piece, but also ease of building, constructability type reviews. We did that with all kinds of people, had a say in what that matrix looked like and why this location was ultimately chosen. So, any questions specifically to that before we go to the next one? Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, wait, sorry, Mrs. Meehanberg, for public comment, it just becomes kind of like a town hall. So
okay.
I apologize, it's not meant to
so
be personal on you. But actually, while I public comment, you can ask that question.
Okay.
There. Just to kind of keep things flowing that way.
So
try for that.
So stop messing up the process, Wes.
Yeah.
Okay.
By then, I'll have forgotten my question.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Schott.
And then this is that fiber-reinforced polymer. So something that y'all are interested to check out. You know, they build a lot of them in Europe. They've never built one for an overcrossing for wildlife. But it is something that's up and coming in the world as far as using this material. So we'll see where it goes. No one in the United States, I think maybe one company in the United States actually does this work right now, so it's hard to get comparatively. Next slide, please. And those are just some benefits. It's very light, but it's supposed to last, and so it'd be interesting to try it out, but again, I don't think we're willing to try it out when it costs so much more in this moment. So, but it'd be interesting, like, for fencing, but then I wonder, you know, what does it do? You know, does that leak out into the ground? I don't know. You know, just be interesting to know more about it. But anyway, that's kind of what we started at. We started with trying to do fiber-reinforced polymer. But again, the cost is kind of going to make that a lot harder to go with. So anyway.
And Mrs. Meehanberg, I'm going to let Mrs. Meehanberg go first so you can slide on your mind the question. Feel free to come up to the microphone and stand up. You know, you're usually online, so it's nice to see you in person.
So it's going to be funny trying to ask him a question.
It's odd how we do things, yeah.
But
thank you.
I have a question about Highway 97.
Sheila, sorry, name for the record first.
Sorry.
Thank
Sheila
you.
Sheila Meehanberg.
Thank you.
Do you need anything else?
Nope.
Okay. just to get these people that are speaking becoming familiar with where I'm coming from is that we own and operate a cattle ranch north and south of Montague. And we do travel up 97 occasionally, and we have some concerns, not only regarding this, but other issues with regard to wolves. And so if you were to go ahead with such a project, the wolves would be probably coming through as well as other wildlife. So I don't know how you address that problem, but I would think, Brandon, that people up in the Doris and the Dole area would be very concerned about something like that. And, I mean, you can't control once you construct those kinds of pathways. You can't control what kind of wildlife will go through there. Or even if they really will, you know, some may just choose not to go through there at all either. Anyway, that's my concern from a rancher.
Yeah, no, I think those are obviously valid concerns, right? I think I know that the wolves are already crossing the highway. You know, they don't really need a crossing; they get across. They're already doing it right here. So I know that's happening there already. And then what else did you say? I wanted to address something else, but I guess I forget what that was. Oh, and then using it in general. You know, that's where again. You know, we're not just one person making that decision. It's that whole group effort. It's a lot of data sources that we're looking at beyond that. It's a lot of ground truthing those locations and ensure that critters are there. It's about the conservation easement to make sure that the land right around the ends never is developed in a certain way, right? Timber harvest, cattle ranching, those are perfect. Hunting even, I'm not even concerned about that on some level. So. It's just, you know, I don't want a mini mall there, you know, something like that. We don't want gas stations there, right? We want that to remain a little bit more open. But you know, those are valid concerns and obviously bigger than what you know what I can really address. But
Next public comment, Ms. Boschalupi, Debbie Boschalupi. I got the spelling up here for Wendy Leader.
Okay. My name is Debbie Boschalupi. How much time do I have? Because I can speak a solid 3 hours on this topic.
You get 3 minutes.
I'm not an expert.
Go ahead.
But I do go to major meetings, and I believe I understand the bigger picture, which I'm very concerned about this. About the fencing, just to start off with, what about the deer or the ungulates, other species who are trying to escape, can't find this underpass, culvert, whatever, and I've seen it in Canada. Canada did this years ago. And the predators, it's an easy target for the species that cannot protect themselves, like ungulates, and against the apex predators, like the wolves that are being introduced. The history of this, the Wildlife Connectivity Project, actually goes back to many, many years ago. One of the co-authors of the Wildlands Project, or the Rewilding of America, is Reed Noss, who has been quoted extensively in California. He's also quoted extensively in the United Nations Biological Diversity Conferences, of which I've been to 5 major United Nations conferences throughout the world, not because I agree with what's going on, but because I believe the American people deserve the truth on what these kind of projects really lead to. I don't think that we've heard what the big picture is. I imagine that we'll see a lot of fencing like we do in Canada. And I believe the fencing is not as much for the animals as it is for the people. We heard, and I think you all are just doing your job, but I think when we look at the bigger picture and where this, I believe this leads to, based on research that I've done and going to these biological diversity conferences and more, I think I have a pretty good idea on what the future looks like. And I did see the title of the presentation, and it was, you know, something about Caltrans and the environmental future. So AB 2785 is the bill, the Wildlands Connectivity Project map, that was passed, I believe, in 2008 in California. Its co-authors were, or its supporters were, Department of, Defenders of Wildlife, the Audubon Society, the Nature Conservancy, and as ranchers and farmers and people who live in rural America and seeing our water cut off, I think that knowing these agencies, these non-government organizations, there is much concern in Siskiyou County for the overreach and of these projects when it comes to living in harmony, if you will, with nature. Oh, is that my time?
Got one more minute.
I got one more minute. This is the Wildlands Projectivity map, or this is the United Nations Biological Diversity map, which matches the California Wildlife AB 2785. Reed Noss, in this book called The Global Biodiversity Assessment Report, which is the United Nations, I call it a crook book about what is sustainable and what is not sustainable in the 21st century. Reed Noss, this was drafted and published in 1994, he says this, and this is what the Wildlands Project, this is what this map is, this project is. This means that represented areas of all major ecosystems in a region need to be reserved. That block should be as large as possible. That buffer zone should be established around core areas, and that corridor should connect these areas. In other words, whose private property must be stolen or taken, because there isn't going to be just compensation for these kinds of projects. This basic design is central to the recently proposed Wildlands Projects in the United States, Noss, 1992, a controversial long-term strategy, 100 or 200 years, to expand natural habitats and corridors to cover as much as 30% of the United States. Go to America, the beautiful Biden's executive order for 30% more land under conservation by the year 2030. You can also go back to Gavin Newsom's executive order in 2020, almost 2 years ago to this date, where he, before Biden, created an executive order for 30% more land under conservation by the year 2030. Thank you for letting me go over my time. I am very concerned about this. It sounds great in concept, but when you're talking about taking away private property to complete these projects, I think this is a bad idea. And I love government. I think we have the most amazing government system in the world. I think projects like this are not beneficial to a government that is for the people as well as for the habitat. This area is beautiful with habitat. And it seems like, you know, anyway, I'll end it with that. I urge you just to consider this and open it up more to the public comment. And maybe a town hall would be a great idea these days with all the water and wolves and other wildfire issues. Wolves, water, and wildfire, how do you destroy rural America? Thank you so much.
Any response with you? 100%. Any board member questions? Oh, hand up. Oh, Nick Jocelyn.
I'm Nick Jocelyn, from Shasta, California.
Go ahead, Mr. Jocelyn.
I had the pleasure of working with Wes and Eric recently on a grant they submitted for future studies. And I just wanted to say, this is with the Ecology Center in Mount Shasta. These are two extremely motivated, intelligent individuals who are willing to go the extra mile to help develop better ways for wildlife to move throughout the human landscape that we've created. Sorry you had to listen to the last speaker talk about some fringe conspiracy stuff, because that's obviously a disappointing way to look at how we as humans can assist wildlife. I know, having my family live in this county since the mid-1800s, we've definitely seen a decline in deer, and the reason is because of habitat fragmentation. There's just simply not enough ways for animals to move around. And so I just wanted to say we are in support of this project, and thank the two gentlemen for showing up today.
Thank you, Mr. Jocelyn. Any other public comment online, Ms. Haley?
Showing online.
Any more public comment in-house? No more public comment. Any questions from colleagues or comments? I'll speak a little bit here. I agree with Supervisor Hopp for Highway 3. I think that my mother's law here to get there, so we didn't include that. It should be included.
I don't know that we need wildlife crossing, but we need some kind of a system or
warning
something.
System, yeah.
Log trucks and gravel trucks are probably the biggest culprits, so I know they don't show up in the insurance reports or in the body shops, because a deer versus a log truck, I can tell you who wins.
Yep, we'll definitely add it to the list.
Well, if you're lobbying for locations, you can do I-5 from the what I call the canyon, because there's just plenty of roadkill, if you will. And it's all about connectivity, particularly since they put the barriers up. I don't know if you were around for when they did that.
I was not, but anytime they add them.
Yeah, we exacerbated the situation. And then I can only assume that you guys don't do eminent domain on properties. You do it where willing landowners and all that stuff that happens.
Yeah, we wouldn't take property for these necessarily. It's a cooperative thing. You know, that's why working with those two timber companies is super important, and having their support is ultimately super important. And I think the benefit of working in the North State is just that we have so much public ground already. And so really focusing in a lot of that public ground that we have up here is another thing that we're, you know, trying to get accomplished. So.
Thank you. And then in regards to the reason why the section from 97 is because some individuals have kept at it for a long time, is one of the driving forces. Is that correct?
Yep. Yeah, they are maintenance forces, and CHP ultimately, you know, they were just tired of moving carcasses, putting carcasses down, and so they came to us and said, this is a big problem. You know, over one elk is killed a month through that stretch of highway. And so, again, one a month, that's essentially Russian roulette with drivers. And so, you know, one a month is too much when it comes to, you know, somebody's family getting run into one of these things. So trying to prevent that is ultimately, you know, what our goal is.
And then in regards to fire and ambulance service out there, that's kind of the, I can't think, it's a blank zone. I want to call it dead zone, but it's area where there's quite a bit of distance between the ambulance and fire department's response, isn't there?
Yeah.
Right. I've responded on ambulance calls to car wrecks, and when you see a car hit an elk, that's a whole different story there.
It is.
In regards to wolves, any comments on that?
I mean, I know they're there, and I know they don't need the crossing to get across the highway.
Okay. Any other questions, Supervisor Howell?
Just a comment. I understand you're dealing with a road. A bigger issue to me, though, is habitat in general. You know, Scott Valley, the issue there is the forage and the water is on one side of the road and covers on the other. And it's a daily pattern back and forth and back and forth. Wouldn't it make more sense for one of your state partners, Fish and Game, to be doing habitat development projects or rejuvenation projects outside the road corridor so the wildlife would actually stay away from the road itself? It seems to me much more effective than trying to put a Band-Aid on the crossing. Just my comment.
That's a great comment.
Maybe I can get them to stop focusing so much on fish and look a little bit at the conditions.
Yeah, and part of AB 2344 is supposed to be us working more, you know, hand in hand with but it's not something we have a problem with up here. Honestly, our CDFW folks, you know, work really well with us. We don't always see eye to eye necessarily, but we're able to work through it and figure it all out. So we're a good group of people for the most part.
And just for the public, this was just informational only. This isn't something the board has control over passing or not passing. So what is the public process for on this?
Public process is, you know, we've kind of gone through environmental on some stage. You know, we probably need to have another public meeting on this at some point in the future just to kind of get that out. I think that was a great idea and a great thought, you know, just to make sure that we get that out there. So, but beyond that, you know, those are kind of the big ticket items at this point. It's just you have opportunities to comment in the environmental process and then, you know, potentially having a public meeting as we get a little bit closer to something we've been talking about.
Okay.
Doing, so.
Well, thank you for your presentation.
Thanks for letting us be here, for sure.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Break?
We'll take a break.
Thank you.
Sorry.